Brian Breaker.
You're a little whiny baby.
Bane.
Don't assume my gender.
Friends since the seventh grade.
Dude. You're just a bitch with this phone.
F*** you.
Well, sort of. One professional wrestler and one rapper get together to talk movies, comics, video games, pro wrestling, and anything that makes you say, WTF.
Let's not talk about Bane's ooze.
Harry Potter erotica. Awesome in theory. Kind of a mess in practice.
This is Breaker and Bane's Power Hour.
Yeah. Breaker and Bane's Power Hour. Yeah. Boy. Grab a monster, crack it open, let's go. It's time that we start the show, no hesitation, oh no. The most energetic podcast of all of the podcasts. So when you listen to the show, you know that it kicks ass. So when I smash on these cowards like Mario did to Bowser, with the best thing you've encountered since suspenders on trousers. To all the haters, say howdy, make a believer from doubters. Put in the steak in the shower, Breaker and Bane Power Hour. Yeah, hello. Hello. Welcome to the show. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are rolling sound. Another edition of Breaker and Bane's Power Hour coming at you. I'm Brian Breaker. Joining me, as always, Big_Bane. What's going on, man?
Dude, not a whole lot.
What's new in the world of Bane? What's new in Bane's world?
I don't know.
Nothing?
I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if I want to talk about any of
it. Oh, is it private stuff?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's more chaotic shit that just never ends.
You live in the chaos. Uh-huh. You're just attracted to the chaos, I've noticed.
I'm not attracted to it.
But it's attracted to me. You, yeah.
Yeah, it's attracted to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm hot stuff to that chaos.
Apparently. I don't know. I feel like the more we try to get that stuff out of our lives, the more it comes in, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but...
Yeah, I've actually got a story I'll tell you off air.
Oh, boy. Is it more of the same stuff?
No,
you've been telling me.
No, it's different. It's not something we've talked about on the show.
Oh boy.
It happened last Monday.
Oh geez.
Yeah.
Wild stuff, huh?
Yeah. But one thing I will talk about, my daughter got her permit.
I saw that on Facebook. Yeah. So you got two drivers now, man, in the family. That's kind of crazy to think.
She so far she's done all right. That done bad. So,
make you nervous?
Yeah, she it makes me nervous to have her driving. But She passed with 100 her first time
on
her permit test, so I was pretty proud of her for doing that.
Is it the same like that we had to do, or is it different now?
I don't know about the test itself, but she didn't really, like, you know, we like had like the practice booklets or whatever to study. She didn't have that. She just went to a driving, like, place to where they taught her, like, driver's ed type school for 2 weeks, 2 days out of the week. And then... after that, like, she immediately took the test that Wednesday after she got done with her test, her class. And so she just immediately passed and then she went and got her license and her permit and all good.
That's awesome. Yeah.
She's on the road now.
I remember the permit test was, I remember mine kind of like messed up.
Yeah.
And because I don't know, do they still have it like where it's like you hit the letter with a button? Or it's probably more sophisticated than that now.
Probably. I didn't even ask her. I didn't even think to ask her how it was.
I remember because I took the test and I failed it the first time because it had like the A, B, C, and D answers. Mm-hmm. And I hit the button and it didn't register.
Yeah.
So I tried to hit it again and it still wouldn't register. Then I accidentally hit the wrong one.
Oh, shit.
And I'd already missed a couple. So it was like it put me over the edge and I was like, that one messed up. Well, you can come take it again next week. And I'm like, dang it.
Yeah, that sucks. I remember I failed my permit test once too. I failed my driving test twice.
Really? So that one I had no issue with, but the permit test was, I was never a good test taker though. So that was rough for me.
Well, I remember like when I took my driving test, I can't remember what it was on the first one that I did wrong, but the second time really pissed me off.
I think you told me that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
Funny.
Though.
It's funny.
It's funny now. Probably not.
But
then.
Like it pissed me off so bad because we pulled out of the parking lot And I got to the first stop sign. And then the guy was like, all right, make a left turn. And so I made a left turn. He's like, all right, go ahead and pull back into the driveway. And then I was like, okay. And he's like, all right, I can't pass you. And I'm like,
That quick.
Yeah. Like we literally like just got out of the driveway. And I think what I had done was I like pulled past the stop sign. Because like they're really, they were really strict.
See, but that's such a weird faux pas. Cause you know this as well as I do. If you don't, you can't see
exactly.
And a lot of intersections, exactly. Right? But, it's total bullshit.
But like during the test, and I've told Marissa this too. I'm like, during the test, make sure you're stopping your entire car before the stop sign.
Yeah.
Because like, apparently that's a very strict rule. And you know, but I can't remember. I feel like the first test I went through like everything, but I ended up failing. The second test was bullshit, and then I passed on the third time.
So, yeah, the permit test got me, and then the driving test, I thought I failed because he started reprimanding me after it was over, but it was over something that I thought was – it didn't make sense. But I was thinking about this. I remember parallel parking was always hard for everybody.
Yeah. That's easy for me now.
Well, yeah, and that we all have backup cams too, right. So it's like it's not even a challenge.
Well, but it was when we were taught it, I feel like they didn't teach us the right way because, like – you know, you're supposed to pull up to where you're like even with the car and that's going to be in front of you when you park.
Right.
I didn't realize that. Like, right. I don't remember being taught that.
It's another skill you have to do a few times to get the hang of it.
Yeah. And so.
And you know how many times I've actually parallel parked in my life? Like right. 5.
I do it quite often now because I go downtown to get my hair cut. But oh, like, okay. And that's mostly parallel parking downtown. But like it's still like other than that, you know, there's no pair unless
it's you like go, you got a fresh haircut.
Did just yesterday,
man. You loving them haircuts.
Yeah. I get me one once a month.
Once a month. Really?
Yeah. Dude, my hair grows out so fast.
Yeah.
By the week of me getting a haircut, it's like, it looks like a fro.
Really?
It's bad. Yeah. So I have her, she's has me scheduled out like right now, all the way up until like August.
Oh wow.
And so like, we just keep it like standing appointment like every fourth Friday.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I have actually always avoided downtown because of the parallel parking. I hate parallel parking.
Dude, speaking of downtown, there was a shooting there last night.
Was it
Did
really?
Did you see that?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Big shooting. I think everybody like survived, but like the dude got like at least 2 people.
Jesus.
Like he shot the first person and then tried to flee, and then people ran after him to keep him from going anywhere, and then he shot another person and then like made his escape or whatever when the cops got there.
They get him?
No.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Stuff's scary, man.
Dude, I know. It's insane going downtown, man.
Yeah. Well, just that whole aspect of this happening so often.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to keep things positive, but gosh damn, that's scary.
Dude, it happens a lot. It's nuts.
Too much. It's yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan, but back to the driving test. What he got me on is he told me to do uphill or downhill parking. I don't remember, but as you know, you're supposed to turn the wheel one way,
yeah,
so that the tires hit the curb. If you know, which I don't even think would help if your car is going, but you know, that's what they said, so that's fine. I did all that fine, but I'm on like a straight street, like in a neighborhood,
yeah,
just on the curb. What he got me for was I didn't signal before I left, and I'm like, I'm still in the road, like you know, what I mean, I'm like barely on this. There wasn't really much of a shoulder the road he had me on, so I kind of just like kept driving forward.
Yeah.
You have to signal. And I'm like, okay. I don't know. So I thought I just freaking failed that just now, but he went ahead and passed me, which was, I was lucky on that regard. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man. I don't know if I ever told you this. When I moved to Missouri, I got a Missouri license, which was not really hard to do. Mm-hmm. It basically just was like, okay, yeah, here you go. You have a Missouri license now. Moved back to Oklahoma. They wouldn't switch it back unless I had to go to like a, cause I went to the local tag office, which is like my least favorite place on earth. Like, well, you have to go to this other tag office to do it. I'm like, okay.
Like the actual DMV probably.
I guess.
Yeah.
And so they had me fill out all this paperwork. I thought I was going to have to do another driving test once I got there. And I was like, oh shit. I hope I don't. I mean, like, what do I do if I fail this? You know,
Back to Missouri, I guess.
Yeah. I was like, that's going to be a problem. But no, they went ahead and just, I don't know why. I was like, what's the difference? Like, I've been licensed here before.
Right.
It's no problem. But, yeah, they made it a big issue. So, I got that taken care of. And now, apparently, everyone's having to switch to the real ID soon.
Yeah, they gave me the option because I had to get my license last year. And they gave me the option to either do just a regular driver's license with a real ID. And I just opted to do the regular driver's license because I don't need the real ID, because the real ID is like to get on planes and stuff that. And so it's like, I don't need to do that.
I'm flying this summer.
Yeah.
And so, initially I was going to have to get my, cause my license expires in October.
Mm-hmm.
So but I'm flying in July. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll have to get the real ID for that.
Yeah.
But apparently they switched that to 2025 now.
Okay.
So I don't think I have to get it yet. I'm going to double check obviously before I go. But yeah, that's so stupid because I apparently have to get a birth certificate. I'm like, I don't have that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I did it, because you need that, like the proof of address and all that. It's like, which I can get that shit, but it's like, I didn't really want to take the time. I'm just like, I just need to get my license.
Yeah, it's like you have to bring a water bill in or something.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, like what?
Yeah. It's like everything's digital. So I got all these steps, got to print it off.
Yeah.
It's just like dumb.
Ridiculous. Since the last time we've spoken, man, a lot has changed in the world of pro wrestling, including the big sale of the WWE to Endeavor, which is, I guess, the owners also of UFC. So that kind of puts UFC and WWE in the same market. At least that's what it seems like. We've known that they've been gearing up to sale for a while.
Yep.
And, of course, like immediately it's like, oh, nothing's changing. And then all of a sudden Vince gets his hands on creative, it seems, and everyone's all up in arms. I don't pay attention enough to the product to even really care. But what were your thoughts on it? Like, I know you're not as into it these days as like me, so it's kind of whatever, but.
Yeah, I mean, like, it kind of bums me out because it felt like the company was going in a good direction.
It was starting to, yeah.
And it kind of bums me out to know that Vince is back. Supposedly, like, because he messed up Monday Night Raw real bad. And.
Well, there was rumor that Seth Rollins' whole thing got switched during a commercial. Did you hear about that?
Well, I saw clips of it and him like visibly looking kind of pissed off. So I don't know if all that happened or not, but like it was really, really bizarre. And then I heard that all that happened just because he was already there. And so he was like,
it can't not be hands on.
Right. No. And so, apparently the word is that he's not going to be there every week, so he won't be that hands-on. So who knows? I mean, Triple H is supposedly head of creative still.
Yeah.
But, like, if Vince actually has a job there, he's going to put his say in.
Of course he is. And he can't not do that.
And then his creepy-ass mustache to boot. I mean, and that fucking hair dye.
Oh, that looks so bad.
It looks awful. Like, it made him look fatter, which is weird. Like, it made his head look fat.
He looks like a wax sculpture of himself.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like.
Kind of looks like Wario a little bit to me.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I've never been a big fan of plastic surgery.
No.
Especially for cosmetic reasons. I get it if, like, you have something happen, right? Sure. Like, you get a scar or something. That's fine. But when it's just, like, to make, like, when an actress does it to make you look younger, like, I don't know if you've seen Jennifer Aniston lately.
I think of Charlotte Flair a lot.
Yeah.
In that sense.
Yeah, but Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox and some of them, they just start to look, like, way different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, just age. Like, everyone ages. Like, it's not a big deal. I don't know. I've always thought that was odd.
I know. I've always been a big proponent or a big fan of just aging naturally.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I feel like it does you no favors.
These are very rich people and their surgeries look awful.
Yeah.
Like they don't even look like themselves. Like
why
would you do this to you? Like why would Vince do this?
Even if that's the goal is to not look like yourself, to look like something else, but like you don't even look human anymore. It looks weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like Uncanny Valley type vibes for me.
Yes. It definitely looks weird. Did you ever watch the show Nip Tuck on FX back in the day?
No.
It was about, you know, plastic surgeons and seeing the stuff they did is just like, that's just so gross to me. Like surgery is never something I would want to do anyway, unless it was absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
So I couldn't imagine going into like a, you know, plastic surgery. Like that's totally unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean like, yeah, I don't get the concept behind plastic surgery, especially face, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, you know, if you want big boobs, God bless you. But like, I don't like the face. I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah. It's definitely different. So, but yeah, Vince looks weird, doesn't he?
Yeah. Looks awful.
So do you think this will change WWE better, worse at all? Like, what do you think?
I don't know. I have, like, I got a feeling they're eventually going to move back to pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible idea.
I think UFC would benefit way better
from switching to,
yeah,
yes, absolutely,
to do something similar to like the monthly. And I don't follow UFC a lot. I feel like UFC's in their Ruthless Aggression era right now.
Mm-hmm.
They still have their fan base, but it's not hot like it was.
Yeah.
And
I don't even know if they'll ever get hot again.
Well, the thing is, the biggest problem they're always going to have, and I've said this for years, once someone gets hot, they're about ready to retire.
Yeah.
Because fighting takes so much out of you.
Yeah.
So by the time someone becomes a household name, they're not fighting anymore.
Yeah.
So now you have to try to build the next guy, and that's either have like the fight fans or the people that just casually watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And the casual watchers aren't going to be invested in people they don't know.
Exactly.
And UFC honestly has never been big on merchandise. They've done figures and they've done some video games and trading cards and stuff like that. But like, why aren't there UFC t-shirts?
But I wouldn't wear a UFC t-shirt.
Well, right. But again, maybe the diehards would. Maybe you'd get more people involved if you did stuff like that. I don't know.
You bet your ass they'd look like tap out gear.
And that's what they're going to do. They're going to go with what their fan base is. But yeah. WWE, I mean, I wouldn't wear a lot of the WWE shirts either.
Oh, hell
no,
no.
You know, like I'm into the retro stuff. I think like Homage and those shirts are fun. But like the current day, like, you know, I'm not wearing a We the Ones Bloodline shirt.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on. But some people like that, so.
Yeah, I mean, but to be fair, like, there are some of those shirts that I feel like look more like regular shirts.
They do have some that are fun.
That I would be okay with wearing. But, like, I can't imagine. And that's another thing, too, is, like, I feel like most of the guys in UFC, guys like Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey, people like that, totally exceptions to the rule, but like most of the guys in UFC don't know how to market themselves to be a star.
Well, right.
And I think that's where the problem lies, is that they're just want to go out there and fight, and that's fine, but like there is an entertainment aspect to it as well.
Right.
And I mean, that's why they have all the promos and stuff like that, the press conferences and stuff.
They do pro wrestling better than pro wrestling in that aspect.
Yeah.
Because they create personal issues,
yeah,
which is designed to sell tickets and pay-per-views.
Right. But like a lot of those guys just don't like, because I mean, as silly as it sounds, you probably need catchphrases. You know what I mean? Like, you probably need all that goofy shit that WWE does.
Conor McGregor is a pro wrestler.
Absolutely.
Fighting. I mean, and he kind of knocks that when people make the comparison, but because most of the people in his fan base and fight world probably don't recognize he's being Ric Flair.
Yeah.
You know, it's obvious, but it's smart. Chael Sonnen was great as far as a heel.
Yeah.
And you know, he was one of the guys that like would talk shit and do things. And like, I remember him, he hit Tito Ortiz with like an amazing zinger one time about, cause he was with, Jenna Jameson and,
Ortiz was.
Yeah. And he said something about, you know, I can't remember what it was, but Chael Sonnen sat there and looked and he's like, yeah, that's not what your wife said. And he's like, she's not my wife. He's like, good one. I don't remember, but it was really funny. But Chael Sonnen was a guy that got it. Like, he was a good fighter, but he also got the entertainment aspect of, hey, if I want to sell pay-per-views, that makes more money for me. So I need to create personal issues with these guys. Like Daniel Cormier, some of those guys have understood that. But again, the longevity in fighting isn't as long.
Well, and also too, a lot of those guys like Daniel Cormier, he's a pro wrestling fan.
Yes.
So like
100%.
Definitely he gets it. You know what I mean? But like there's a lot of those guys, and I think Conor McGregor again is the exception of the rule, because like he's always kind of talked shit on pro wrestling, but he also like gets it.
I think that's again part of his work.
Yeah.
Right. But the second he goes out there and is like, you know, I'm a big pro wrestling fan, I just do this as a character, then it's over.
Right.
Because in fighting in UFC, it is a real sport, even though I think 90% of it's probably a work. And I'm not saying the fight's a work, I'm saying everything around it's a work.
I guarantee you most of those guys are probably buds.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They just know once they get in the ring, they got to beat the shit out of each other.
Right, but it's like them creating, they're creating buzz by disliking each other. And, I got to see these guys fight because this is going to be a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all that it is. It's a business.
Yeah.
But do you think this will change? I feel like, in my opinion, this will make UFC bigger than it was. I don't know if WWE will benefit from it, though.
I think they're going to try to blend reality a little bit more with WWE, and I think it's going to not be good.
Yeah, well, anytime they've ever tried to...
Like,
anytime they've tried to do that, it's not worked out well, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see that Brawl for All coming back or anything like that.
I hope it does.
But, like, I can almost see them, like, trying stupid shit like that, thinking it'll get over. You know, like, I could see them doing the Fight Pit again, or not the Fight Pit, but, like, Underground again. You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
I guess crossovers would be more
likely. And, like, but, like, I don't want that. Like, I don't want to see that. And I definitely don't want to see... Now, I mean, like... I know there are some people who are trained in MMA that are in WWE.
Right.
Like seeing Matt Riddle hop over to UFC, like that would be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, although
I don't think him and Dana White are on good terms, but
well, maybe not. But I mean, like there are some people like who probably could jump over to UFC and do it, but like at the same time, I don't want to see like everybody from WWE and UFC, vice versa.
When they did that one Fight Pit, didn't they bring Daniel Cormier as a referee?
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Those types of crossovers are cool.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't need to see a UFC guy get in the ring. I don't need to see a WWE guy get in the cage. Like, I don't need to see that shit.
Yeah. I don't think that would do a lot for anybody.
No.
So I think that would kind of make the process of UFC seem more worked.
Yep.
Then they're gonna want. So
yep.
I think keeping them separate is probably for the best. But
oh yeah.
We will see what happens. AEW also, there's some news there. Apparently CM Punk is gearing up to return this summer. Could be sooner rather than later. Obviously this comes off the All Out media scrum that was kind of the talk of the town there for a few months. It ended up with him and Ace Steel in a big fight with the Elite. It seemed after that like Punk was done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I was like, okay, well, if he's not going here, maybe he'll go back to WWE. But I don't think Triple H was, like, keen to have him back either.
Yeah.
So it kind of was one of those things, like, what do you do now? Like, yeah. Where does this guy go from here?
Yeah, maybe write a book.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, like, that's all you can do, though.
I know AJ Lee's written a couple books.
Yeah. But now I guess maybe they're trying to mend some fences and trying to get things back on track. I guess he had some issues with Jericho, which that's kind of goes back to, I feel like they probably had issues before.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of were talking about it, I think, before we started recording about the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I guess Jericho reached out to have him on his podcast, and he kind of scoffed at that. Like,
yeah.
But I also know, like, Jim Ross said, he's welcome anytime. I let him know, and Stone Cold welcomed on his show. He went to Colts because that was his friend, which I got. So, to me, it's like any wrestling personality is going to say, hey, come on my show.
Yeah.
Because I want the buzz, and I want the numbers.
Of course.
So, but again, maybe him and Jericho weren't tight, and so that's why the... It seemed like more of a dick move on his part. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I could almost see them having issues back from when they were both in WWE. Mm. You know what I mean? Because they both, like, and as silly as this sounds, I mean, I feel like CM Punk is very sensitive about shit, but, like, they both did the Best in the World gimmick.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I can see CM Punk getting all up in arms about that.
I'm sorry. Neither of you are Bret Hart.
Right, yeah.
I mean, isn't that just so dumb, though, that people get worked up about stuff that's a gimmick?
Yeah.
Granted,
like, I would be pissed off if somebody was doing the exact same gimmick as me, but, like, at the same time, like, if I was the first one to do it, he wasn't even the first one to do it. It was Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. So, like, really, he shouldn't be pissed at anybody. Like, Daniel Bryan should be the one pissed off.
Right. It's insane. What do you think if Punk returns? How do you think this goes?
Probably just as horrible as it did the first time.
You think so?
Yeah. Like, it'll be really good for a few months and then he'll like get a big head again. And
so I was reading, and again, who knows what the internet knows is correct, but I was reading that, I guess he pitched ideas for him to return and be separate from the Elite and then also agreed to work with the Elite. Cause that seems like that's where the money is, right? People are anticipating cause they're going to Wembley in the UK. People are anticipating the Elite versus, Punk and FTR, which makes sense money wise. But I mean, I don't know. Like, that's, I get people can put aside personal feelings for money.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart didn't get along
right
leading up to Survivor Series. They got into a fight backstage. They end up working together. So yeah. I think sometimes you can get back on the same page, but it is harder.
Yeah. Well, and I think with, I think CM Punk, he's just got the biggest head. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's, because is he going to go in there, like, say they do that six-man tag, are they going to go in there and have the Elite go over?
Right.
Or is CM Punk going to have to go over?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like the Elite should go over that night. And I'm not a big advocate for the elite winning all their championships and all that stuff. Like, yeah. I think that's kind of silly that they've done everything that they've done already.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like in this scenario, the elite should go over because CM Punk is the one that kind of caused all this bullshit.
Yeah.
And so like, but at the same time, like, I feel like that would piss CM Punk off. And you know what I mean? Like,
well, again, like Jim Cornette, I know he catches a lot of heat, not as much lately, I guess, but he has in the past. And he always has said, he goes, a match is not good if you don't have a finish.
Right.
And he's absolutely right about that. Like, yeah. if you don't have a finish to this match, this is not a match you book.
Right.
Because you don't kind of try to figure that out later. Like, no, okay, if this is going to happen, like, what are we going to do? And maybe Punk would be more happy working with FTR. So maybe he turns heel on them. I don't know. Like, maybe that's what you have to do to keep the guy around. Because he's, let's be honest, he's in his mid-40s. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be around for that much longer, I don't think. And FTR is already talking about retiring after this contract because they just re-signed. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing too, man, is like I feel like if CM Punk were to come back, he can't come back as a babyface. Like, I don't think.
Well, that they said his return would be in Chicago, so that might be
why they're trying to make him a babyface.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be the only place he'd get cheered. Like, I feel like.
Time has passed, though, a little bit, so people might be more forgiving.
Maybe.
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't think the elite's, like, on everyone's Christmas card list either, though.
Well,
so,
that's true.
I mean, yeah. It's not. I don't
watch the products, so I don't know what the hell they're doing with the elite.
I don't either. But, I mean, I followed a little bit, but I'm not, like, super invested. My point, though, is I get on paper why you're like, we want him back because he's like the guy.
Yeah.
To a large degree for the audience and stuff like that. But if this happens all over again, it's like, well, fool me once, you know, shame on you.
This would be fool me third time.
Right.
Because he did it in WWE too. And so like, I feel like it's dumb to bring him back.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I get why they're doing it, mm-hmm. but I think he would be better if you're like, okay, we're going to keep a merchandising deal.
Yeah.
And we're going to sell a shitload of shirts and a shitload of figures, and you're going to be in the video games, but let's not do the wrestling stuff anymore.
Let's keep you off TV.
Yeah. Because like, what else do you do with the guy?
Yeah.
Who does he work with now? Like, he's had issues with everybody. I don't know. And like, I'm trying to look at the positives. Like, what do you do here? Like, what's the right call?
Yeah.
But then there's also talk that, you know, Tony Khan's trying to secure the elite into new deals because, you know, you wouldn't think that they would leave, but hell, Cody did.
And yeah.
He may have ended WrestleMania, so maybe that wasn't the worst call.
Yeah. And when are their deals up?
Well, I heard the Bucks are on the same deal, and it's coming up soon, but Kenny's got extended till like first of next year.
Okay.
Due to his injury and the time he was out. They have the options to freeze them for that time. But I don't see them necessarily making the jump, but at the same time, I could see WWE swiping them up just because that they know that will hurt AEW. I feel like that's a big reason they grabbed Cody, because they knew that would be big.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, that's like, here, I'll give you 100 guys for this one.
Right.
Whereas, like, these 100 guys ain't going to do shit for you, but this one is going to really hurt you.
Right.
And so, I mean, that was a really smart play by WWE. And that was something I didn't think they were going to do. I felt like they didn't really give a shit about anybody that was over there.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Except for maybe, like, Sting. You know what I mean? When he jumped.
Yeah, but they even really didn't do anything with him either. No. It's not like they like. I remember a lot of the guys that were under Legends deals. Jim Ross would talk about like, why aren't they using Jake on TV? Like, why aren't they using Why aren't they using Sting on TV? I mean, granted, like they don't need to be wrestling, but they could do some backstage stuff. Like, I think Jake being a manager is kind of fun.
Yeah, I feel like Sting is a hard guy to book outside of matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, what does he do?
Yeah, like I feel like him being in the manager role with Darby is weird. I've always felt like that.
It's kind of like they're associates, but he's doesn't wrestle as often, mm-hmm. obviously. But yeah, I'm kind of get you. His promo with MJF, I saw clips of the other day. That was really good.
Yeah, that looked fun. I don't know what he was talking about, but like him bringing out the pom poms and stuff, that was funny.
Yeah, and he kind of Sting has always been to me like a very like he's always been really fun to watch.
Yes,
this whole AEW run's made me super nervous.
Yeah,
because like I feel like oh god. You know, I mean, he's already had to retire from injury once and somehow he was able to come back. Like, you know, he's on borrowed time. He's definitely not. He's in his early 60s.
Like, shouldn't be taking power bombs and stuff like
no,
that.
No, shouldn't be diving off of the stage. You know, like there's some things you shouldn't be doing, but he seems to be okay. So it's like, well, okay. Like, hopefully he can kind of end it on his terms, which he seems to be doing, which I think is great.
He's definitely a little daredevil. That's for sure.
Yes, he is. And I saw him interviewed about it. And he goes, hey, you know, people are offended by me out there. Just don't watch my stuff. You know, it's still a good show. And I was at least I feel like he's also not trying to be in the main event, which that's another thing old timers have an issue with.
Yes.
He's very okay with like, I like my spots here and I'll do my thing. And
well, he gets his role is to build new guys up.
Right. And I think he's added a lot of credibility to Darby.
Absolutely.
I think he's added credibility to a lot of the guys he's worked. So I think that's cool.
You know, I one thing, and this is just that old school mentality of the type of wrestlers I was raised up on. I really just wish that Darby had some bulk on him. He's just such a little guy.
Yeah. Does that bother you? When you see little guys wrestling?
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Like Adam Cole, it doesn't bother me for him to be a little guy. But like something about like Darby, I think it's because like Adam Cole like has like, it feels like he has a little bit of mass. Like not like much, but like comparing him to Darby, Darby just looks skinny. Mm-hmm. Like just skinny. Looks like he doesn't work out. He just eats nothing.
So I've always been a big fan of when guys, like I remember Scorpio Sky when they first started, I had heard of him, but I hadn't really seen him. I'm like, oh, this guy's your star.
Yeah.
Because of his build and his athleticism.
Yeah.
And when I saw Darby, I didn't get it because I'm like he's skinny, right? I mean, and there is always that aspect of wrestling. I don't care what anyone says. It's always going to be like, oh, that's a big guy. Check this guy out. Right. Because that's the physical aspect. It's that Satnam Singh guy. That's why he's used, because he's a massive human being. Right. Or Omos. Like, they're massive human beings.
Yeah.
So, that I get. But, yeah, when you see some of these guys that are like Orange Cassidy, I didn't get either, but I felt like he was so different.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of forget about the fact that he's not a huge guy, and he kind of uses it to his benefit. So,
well, in I feel like Ray is a perfect example of, like, you can be short, but you're very athletic and you have like you have mass on you still. Like Ray's kind of jacked.
Right.
But he's just a small guy.
Right.
But like, it doesn't look out of place because of the fact that he's like muscular.
Mm-hmm.
Like Darby just, I swear to God, he's never picked up a weight, and I'm probably wrong, but like he looks like a skinny skater kid. And I know that's what he's going for.
Yeah.
But like, it feels weird in the pro wrestling world to me.
Well, to me, it's not a secret. Look at MJF. He's definitely put some mass
on. Dude is jacked.
Right? So I think he knew, like, if I want to be taken seriously, or, you know, he kind of jokes about WWE, if I want to jump there, I do need to get bigger.
Yeah.
I need to physically look bigger.
Yeah.
Because he's not a super tall guy. That's obvious.
Right.
And so, yeah, he needs to put some mass on. And he's still not big by WWE standards. He just looks better than he did.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and again, that might be like some, the old school in us hanging on because we grew up watching the early 90s. You know what I mean? Everybody was massive.
Yeah.
But like, I think
even a guy like Mr. Perfect, who is small by those standards, is, if you look at him now, like, oh, that dude is jacked.
Yeah. He was probably what, 6'1", 6'2"?
Right.
Like, that's taller than me. So like, I mean, that's
but he's short based on the giant standards they had at the time.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like if you look at the crop now, most everybody is probably closer to my height.
Yeah. A lot of them are.
Yeah. Like, cause I mean, I know you're considered a big guy, you would be in the world of professional wrestling. Right. And so like, it's just one of those weird things. Like, I don't know, the feel like the field has changed in the world of pro wrestling. And I don't know, maybe it's again, that old school thing. Like, I just don't see it sometimes.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is unique. You know, I think with all these aspects of wrestling, cause I could see people maybe turning on AEW and seeing a Darby Allin being like, I don't know. You know, like this, I don't know about this guy, but I think he's good.
He's super good. Yeah. He's really good.
It's just, but I do get what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's that little bit of like, I don't know.
Cause even for me, like, I think that's why like guys like Jungle Boy and Sammy Guevara haven't hit for me. Like, cause it's like Sammy Guevara, like he looks like he works out, but he doesn't look like he takes it seriously. You know what I mean?
He's put on a little bit more mass though.
Has lately. He? I haven't watched in a while, but like, I felt the same about Jungle Boy too. It's like, you can tell they work out, but it's like MJF is the guy because like,
well, Jungle Boy's got like, okay, he probably hits the gym, but he's still skinny.
Yeah, dude. And he's got the longest torso I've ever seen in my life. Right. It is like weird how long that torso is.
Well, I feel like also WWE did a good job. Like, you look at someone like Christian never looked small to me. But he also did stuff to make himself look bigger.
Yes.
He wore, I think if you put Christian in tights, he would look like Jungle Boy.
Yes.
Kind of, you know, because he's kind of got that same build. But like they initially put him in the puffy shirt so he didn't look as small.
Yeah.
And then like he had like the long pants, and Trevor told us he used to wrap Ace bandages around his thighs to appear a little thicker.
Okay.
You know, sometimes people do stuff like that to, you know, look at Sheamus's boots. He had 2 inches to his height.
Yeah.
You know, like guys do stuff like that to.
Yeah, I think lifts are fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To make you look more imposing. Because I think it's always weird when you have guys that look like they get beat up by somebody in the front row.
Yes. Yes. You know? Oh, and then Hardy used to say that all the time. He's like, you need to have, as a wrestler, you need to have that look of like, okay, that guy could probably kick my ass to some degree.
Yeah.
And even if it's not a physically imposing, at least Darby's got that daredevil aspect where you're like, okay, that guy's crazy.
Then that is one thing that I will give him credit for. Like, he might not be the biggest guy in the world, but like he definitely is that daredevil type character, you know, which is awesome.
Another thing that happened with AEW, Jeff Hardy returned finally.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he was.
Totally missed that.
Yeah, he was on Dynamite. He Matt Hardy's group was getting beat up. Again, I don't follow real closely, but
who's his group now? Because I feel like his group changes all the time.
It was Isaiah Cassidy, which is one of the Private Party guys.
Okay.
I don't know if his partner's hurt.
There's two guys with the last name Cassidy?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, you would think that's weird. How about Adam Page, Christian Cage, Brian Cage, Ethan Page?
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. So is Matt Hardy and Isaiah Cassidy and someone else. They were getting beat up by Ethan Page, Big Bill, which is Big Cass. And that
his name is Big Bill?
Big Bill.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that for him.
Yeah, it used to be W. Morrissey. I always liked that name. I thought that was cool. That's his real name. You know, yeah. William Morrissey. I always thought Morrissey was a cool name.
Yeah.
More so than Colin Cassidy. I always thought that sucked.
Cassidy's weird.
Yeah, and then they did Big Cass, and I'm like, that's still not very good.
No.
But no, they were beating up those guys, and Jeff Hardy made the save. He had like a painted chair, kind of looked like his face, which was kind of cool. And he seemed to look better. So I'm hoping for the best. I mean, the whole thing with him has been very odd. You know, he gets this opportunity and like the first big pay-per-view match, he's like clearly not there. That was just, I don't know, man. Like when I saw that footage of that Victory Road pay-per-view from TNA all those years ago, that always bothered me.
Yeah.
Like, dude, really? And then they did the exact same thing here. It's like, what are we doing? Like, that's just not a good idea.
That Victory Road thing, I always felt really bad for him, and I always felt really bad for Sting in that situation. Cause just seeing him like walk out and like, yeah, I thought it sucked too, or whatever, you know, it's like, ah, oh, that sucks, man. Like, cause you know, he takes a lot of pride in that.
Oh yeah. You know? And it's just, and even Jeff Hardy's like, you know, I'm getting to wrestle my childhood hero Sting, and I'm like not even there. And it's like, good Lord, you know, like that's so disappointing.
Yeah.
The fans seem to be happy to see him. I hope that lasts. I think he's kind of in that point where it's like, all this equity he's built up is really getting tested. People, you know what I mean? People aren't trusting him. I think Punk's in the same way, where people have a hard time trusting him. They have a hard time cheering for this guy because you continually disappoint me.
Yeah, and I think Jeff Hardy's situation is a little bit different because he's struggling with addiction. You know what I mean? And so that's one thing that like...
Yeah, Punk's just an asshole.
Punk's just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And so like it's easy for me to root for somebody who's struggling with addiction because it's like, you know, relapse is a bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I really do hope for the best for Jeff Hardy, and I hope he stays clean. You know what I mean? Because he's got a lot of fans out there.
For his own sake, his family, I really hope so too, because that was hard to watch.
Yes.
That event. I was like, oh my God. You know, it's just really disappointing.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you let Jeff Hardy in the mix, man, there's a lot of cool matches. That they can do that they haven't done yet.
I think a feud between him and Darby would be amazing.
Absolutely would. That would be super cool. Him and Kenny Omega would be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's unique. Him and Punk had a hell of a feud in WWE. If they were able to run that back where they could get along, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Do they not get along?
I've heard they had some issues.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But again, it's Punk. Who does he not have issues with, right?
Right.
So I don't know. But... I feel like if Punk can work with Jericho, which apparently that was another thing that they were going to try to schedule a meeting and hash things out.
Yeah.
If he can do that, I think he can work with Jeff Hardy. So, right. I mean, as long as everyone's cool. I still think the Hardys and FTR would be money.
Yeah.
Because they kind of almost did that in WWE, but it didn't happen. And I still think that would be really cool because that's that Rock and Roll and Midnights. You know, that's a really cool matchup there. So,
do you think, you know, you mentioned earlier that FTR was thinking about retiring. Do you think they really would retire? Because, I mean, I know they've done pretty much everything they can do as a tag team, but, like, they're really young still. That's kind of weird to think.
I know. It's very interesting. I think sometimes you want to put stuff out there to make people feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I don't think they plan to go back to WWE at all.
You don't think so?
No. I think they sent out feelers.
Yeah.
But I don't think they actually legitimately planned it, but they are working to get a better deal.
Sure.
Right? Like, that would be stupid to be like, hey, I'm with you no matter what. And you're going to get a lowball offer. Of course you are. Or yeah, they're not going to up you in money. Right?
So, right.
But you have to feel that out, especially with, like, the possibility of Vince coming back. And, like,
I wouldn't. Yeah.
Why would they do that?
I'd be very afraid to jump ship right now.
Like, why would they do that? Like, especially as anyone that has jumped over, with the exception of Cody, hasn't really done anything. So,
well, and Cody jumped over when Vince was still in charge.
Yeah, but I think he was such a big star, they knew that they could rub this one in AEW's nose.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the idea.
Yeah.
And he also was able to come in, like, as the American Nightmare and yep, he, you know, all that stuff. Although they're making Stardust figures again. Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I think that's great. I was, you know, one of the few that actually really enjoyed Stardust.
Oh, I did too. I thought he did a good job. I just don't think he wanted to do it all the time.
Right. And especially, like, him in the Ascension when he did that little run. I thought that was great.
Oh, yeah.
But
I love how he pulled off Stardust. I just don't think that was what he wanted to do anymore. And I think he was over it. And
he wanted to go back to Cody, and they didn't want him to.
Yeah. And they were like, this is great. Why would you do this? I thought it gave him a good rejuvenation, though.
Yeah.
Like, as giving him something new. But.
I wanted to bring this up, though. I found this out just yesterday or the day before. Did you know that the current WWE Championship has almost been around a decade already?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that it had been that long. Like, it'll be 9 years this August, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right, because The Rock reintroduced it.
Yeah.
But then they kind of changed it a little in 14,
yes,
right?
Yes. In 2014, they debuted the one that we actually have right now.
Yeah.
And that's so weird to me that it's been that long already.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely time for a new one. Because they kept the Winged Eagle for a decade. They had that from 88 to 98.
That sounds right. Yep. Because Steve Austin got the first, like, he got the bigger Winged Eagle.
Yes.
And I always liked that one. They don't use that as much.
I liked that one a lot. I didn't realize that the reason why he got the smoking skull was because the big one kept cutting his cheek.
Yeah.
Like, what a weird thing.
Because he gave Vince a stunner and he dropped it and it cut his face. Yeah. I remember them.
Well,
I had heard also, too, that was a big plan at that time to give custom titles to those guys.
I remember The Rock was supposed to get one.
So they made a figure recently that included a Brahma Bull title.
Yeah.
Based on...
I think it's ugly, though.
It's not great. And they did an Undertaker one, too.
Did they?
I've never been a big fan of those type of titles. I think they're a little...
I think certain people deserve custom titles.
I don't know. It takes away, like, the importance of a title to me.
Yeah, I understand that, too. One person that had one recently that I hated was The Fiends.
Yeah. Oh God, that was ugly.
Terrible. And it just looked like a belt. It didn't look like a championship, you know. One custom championship that I loved and will go to my grave saying I loved was the eco-friendly championship that Daniel Bryan did.
Okay, but that
thing was gorgeous.
That, because it was so goofy looking.
Yeah.
It was perfect for a heel.
Yeah, I thought it was gorgeous, though. Those, like, blue stones that he had in there, I was like, this is perfect.
I thought that was great because it still looked like the title.
Yes.
The problem I have is when you start adding, like, because now they all have, like, the side plates, which is fine. You know, kind of.
That's a good customization thing.
Yeah, it is. But, like, the smoking skull title is, like, it has, like, the smoking skull on it. Like, the Brahma Bulls on it. Like, I don't know.
Who else carries it? Yeah.
I know WWE shops doing custom titles. I'm sure you've seen some of those, mm-hmm, like the Macho. And those are fun, I think. Those are great as a collector's item, but it'd be weird to me.
Keep it off screen.
Yeah, if Macho Man was wearing that, I'm like, ugh.
I do like modifications, though. Like, I really enjoyed when Naomi was the women's champ and she, like, made it glow in the dark.
Sure.
Like, I think stuff like that's cool. But
you have to keep the integrity of what the title is.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I never really liked the look of the spinner belt. It looked like a shadow box to me. I think it's one of the ugliest titles in history.
Yeah.
I hated that they kept it that long.
Yeah, they kept that one longer than they kept, because the Undisputed Championship was only there for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
They kept that way longer than the Undisputed Championship. I felt like that
should have been. I didn't like it as much either.
I didn't either, but I felt like that was better than the spinner, but they kept the spinner. Like, that should have been exclusive to Cena.
Yeah, I agree.
But they kept that one, I mean, up until The Rock won in 2013.
Punk killed that the whole run.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, not a great title. Speaking of titles, but you have a personal favorite as far as one that you've always thought was cool?
Like current?
Or just any in general?
I'm still a huge fan of the, I feel like no one even talks about it, the WCW Television Championship.
I love that title.
That was one of the most beautiful titles ever. And it just looked like a mini world championship to me, and it just was amazing. Also, the WCW United States Championship was gorgeous.
It was awesome.
And then the classic New Japan World Championship, or I guess not really classic because they had one before it, but the one before this new one.
IWGP title? Yes. It's an awesome looking title.
Love that title, and I hate, excuse me, I hate the fact that they
got rid of it.
Yeah,
titles are interesting because I feel like sometimes when they change, like when they change the Intercontinental title to what they have now, I'm like, I don't like that one at all.
Yeah. It's grown on me a little bit, but I still think it's ugly.
I like the classic one that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually didn't mind the one that The Rock introduced, the skinnier, like purple one.
Yeah.
I always thought that one was cool.
Yeah. It took me a long time to get used to that. But now that I see it now, I'm like, yeah, that wasn't bad. It still looks better than the one we got now.
Agreed.
I still feel like the current United States Championship is probably the best title WWE has.
That one is cool.
That one to me looks amazing.
They kept that one that they introduced in like 03 for years.
Way too long. And it was just a flag.
Yeah.
Like, this is ugly
as sin. The one they have now is really cool looking.
Yeah. It's got that big ass eagle on it. It's beautiful.
Rumor was when Cody was going into the match with Roman, everyone just assumed he was going to win. I actually think that was great that he didn't win.
Yeah, I have no issues with it, like, at all. I mean,
because everyone just assumed it was going to be him, and then he didn't win.
He's going to win at some point.
Right.
Like, he's going to get the title, but, like, I love the fact that, because I think probably what they wanted to do was they probably, there's a couple things I think they wanted to do. They want him to have the Universal Championship for 1,000 days. And I
think they're so close.
Right. And they, I think also, too, they want, with the WWE Championship, they want him to beat CM Punk's streak. Mm. Because I think he's only a couple hundred days away from that, too. So I think after he gets those things in place, then they're gonna,
yeah,
because I mean, Roman has been handpicked as the guy since what, 2017?
Oh yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Probably even before that.
Yeah. And so like I think they want him to go down in history as probably the greatest champion in the modern era.
Right. And they want to erase people they don't like.
Yes. And I think a good way to do that is to get rid of CM Punk. And I mean, I'm trying to think. Who, I mean, the thing is, Universal Championship has zero history behind it. So, like,
yeah,
him setting this is like just going to be etched in history anyway,
right? And like, I think he main evented what, this is like his third consecutive WrestleMania as champion.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty freaking impressive.
Yeah,
because I don't think that's ever been done.
No,
where someone's held it that long.
No, because I think
even, uninterrupted.
Right, because I think even Hogan, like, he only did two, didn't he?
Well, he was champion at WrestleMania 1, but he didn't defend it.
Defend at WrestleMania 1?
No, it's him and Mr. T.
Oh, that's right.
Piper and Orndorff.
That's right. How weird.
Yeah, I know, right? That's weird that's the first main event.
Yeah.
And then he defended against King Kong Bundy in the cage at 3.
Yeah.
Or at 2. And 3, him and Andre.
Yep.
And then,
But he wasn't champion at 3, though, right?
No, he was.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. And then 4, he vacated it shortly before because he was filming No Holds Barred.
Okay.
And that's when they do the tournament, which Macho Man won.
Ah. I still think about it. Dude, he had a chokehold on WWE for like the longest time. I still think of like WrestleMania 9 as like one of the worst WrestleMania main events ever.
Oh, I think it definitely is. And that was, I guess, kind of a big pitch by him to like, hey, brother, let me win the title tonight. Because it didn't really make any sense to do that.
No.
I don't know. I think sometimes people, though, they have a hard time letting go. Like, mm-hmm. What? And if Hogan's not in the main event, what does he do?
Right.
Bret Hart actually said, and it kind of makes sense now that you think, if you think about it, he had said that he always heard the original plan from 93 moving forward was to keep Hogan involved, make him the Babe Ruth, meaning he only comes out for special occasions.
Yeah.
Bret Hart is the top guy, but Hogan's like the Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
And that they were going to gear up for Bret and Hogan at SummerSlam 93. It was going to be like the main event. And, but then once he won the title at 9 and did that whole thing, they kind of like squashed it and they ended up leaving at King of the Ring after losing to Yokozuna.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes you wonder like what would have been like, you know,
yeah.
Because that's when Vince like switched course to Luger. that'll be the new guy. And that course didn't really work out like they wanted to. Although I still think Lex should have won the title that night.
Yeah. It's weird to me that he never won the WWE championship. Like it's weird. Because like
he should have that night.
Yeah. And it's also weird to me that his run didn't last as long as it did, because I mean, like the narcissist gimmick is a great heel gimmick, or at least at the time it was. And the Lex Express gimmick was pretty cool too. I mean, it was a good replacement for Hogan. Yeah. I mean, dude was jacked. I mean, blonde hair. I mean, like Vince's wet dream. You know what I mean?
I heard like Vince didn't really personally care for Lex.
And Bischoff didn't either. What's with that guy?
I don't know. He seems really nice now. Like, yeah. I think he's had a lot of personal issues.
Yeah.
I think life and karma has kind of got him. And now he seems like just a genuinely nice guy. So
I know the whole thing with Miss Elizabeth, but like, I wonder what people didn't like about Lex. Cause I feel like no one's ever really talked about it. Like, was he just an asshole? Do you think he was better than what he was? I mean,
I've heard things like that. And like Cornette talking about how like he just kind of had an approach that people didn't appreciate, kind of things like, well, what'd you have done back in the day if you had to do all these matches for $50 a night? Well, I wouldn't have done it.
Oh yeah.
And you're talking to a room full of people that did do it.
Right.
And so like, they don't appreciate that. And I think that's just, he was a good businessman. Right. And I think the WWE run probably, I think Vince is like, he's not Hogan, but no one's going to be Hogan, especially then. Right.
No,
like,
definitely not.
It took a while. And anytime Vince, I think, tries to replace someone, he tries to get them like to be the exact thing that they had.
Yeah.
Really until Steve Austin, Steve Austin wasn't like anyone else. He worked because he was awesome at what he did.
Yeah.
And he kind of molded the whole company around that, you know, and stuff like that. So Cena was totally different than Austin. Roman's totally different than Cena. But they finally let Roman be Roman. And look how much better he's been the last few years as he was to the first few years of his run.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know, man. It's interesting. It's I don't know. With wrestling, I just kind of... I enjoy it, but I'll be honest. Like I turned on Peacock the other day and I was watching Superstars from 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's my jam.
Yeah,
like they had Sid and 1-2-3 Kid versus Avatar and Aldo Montoya.
Dude, Sid is the man.
Dude, the main event was Diesel and Isaac Yankem.
God dang,
so good, right?
What a great show.
but I mean, isn't that more fun than what they have now?
Yeah.
It just is like that's more fun to me.
Yeah. Well, and like there was just something about a lot of those guys back in the day. And maybe again, it's one of those things where it's just who we grew up with. But like I can't get over how badass Sid is. Like, right. I will always love that man. Like, that dude is just awesome.
And I have half the brain that you do.
And even when he says stupid shit like that, I'm still like, hell yeah, man. Damn right. But like, I ran across Brian Clark's TikTok page the other day, and he was showing a clip of him and Nash. And so it was like Wrath and Kevin Nash. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. Like seeing this, because like Wrath, I didn't realize, for one, I knew he was a big guy. I didn't realize he was damn near the size of Kevin Nash.
Yeah, he was a monster.
And
which again, like, how did Adam Bomb not work? How did Wrath not work? Like, those guys were, he was awesome as all those characters.
He did this big ass bicycle kick to Kevin Nash, knocked him down, and I was like, holy shit. And the commentary team put it over, like, whoa, when was the last time you saw Nash go down like that? And then
was he Wrath at this point?
Yeah. And he did the standing drop kick that knocked Nash over the top rope, and the commentators went nuts for it. And
he used to do a flip off the apron too.
Did he?
He run into a flip and like dive on the guy?
It's like, dude was like massively athletic. And it's like, how was he not just pushed to the effing moon?
I know. I don't get it.
Yeah. And so it's just.
Yeah. I was a huge Adam Bomb fan.
Yeah. I feel like I was a huge Adam Bomb fan, but like, I always liked his look as Wrath way more than I liked Adam Bomb.
Yeah.
He just looked so like, his face looked grungy. Like, I mean, cause he had the, like, people were doing that, but for some reason it looked different on him having the wet hair,
mm-hmm.
like, just because it was all in his face and stuff. And then he had the weird goatee, and I was like, this guy's badass.
Dude, yeah, he was awesome. And yeah. I even like Chronic when they were around.
Chronic was awesome.
Like, that was just such a cool.
And how did that not work in WWE when they came back?
I know. Like, that was so weird to me.
Because they both, like, knew everybody. So it's like, you would think that they would just jump right in and be like another day at the office.
You would think, right? And they'd both been there before. So this wasn't like anything new. I don't know.
You feel like, I mean, obviously we can only speculate because neither one of us were there, but like, do you think like Kane and Undertaker might have been a little jealous of those guys because they were both the same size.
See, but that's the thing. Kane or Taker was like best friends with Bryan Adams.
Well, that's true. That's
so,
true.
Like, why wouldn't he go to bat for him?
Right.
Like, right. That's what that was always weird to me. So, like, because realistically, like, even if you didn't like Chronic, like, you could. And I think that's what it came down to is Vince didn't probably like Chronic.
But bring him back as Crush and Adam Bomb.
Exactly.
Like Crush would have worked in the Attitude Era. It did work in the Attitude Era for a little bit.
I love Jailbird Crush.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe not Adam Bomb, but, like, you know, give him some kind of gimmick. You know?
But you can rearrange that to make it work. Yeah. I mean, to me, it was like when the thought of Papa Shango coming back in 97, I'm like, man, that'd have been cool.
I mean, wait, I say Adam Bomb couldn't work, but hell, Undertaker worked the entire time.
Right.
Yeah. So,
like, I mean, you could change things up in a multitude of ways to make, I mean, every gimmick's goofy if you really dissect it.
Oh, like, yeah.
Kane is the twin or the baby brother of the Undertaker, and he got burned in a fire and somehow got.
But it's all emotional burns.
And somehow got custom red tights. Like, right. Come on. Yeah. You know, like, come on. Stupid. So it's all. Wrestling is not about that. Like, as long as it's fun, it's fun. And, and Adam Bomb was a great wrestler. He just never really got his opportunity.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
So
he still looks great, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's had some health issues, but you know what's weird, though, is when they did that Chella figure, he did a podcast with our buddy Tim at a Chair Shot.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I own it. I own all my names. I own Adam Bomb. I own Wrath. I own Chronic.
No kidding.
That's what he said. And because Bryan Adams passed.
Yeah.
And he said he owns all that. And so that's how we're able to do it. Well, all those releases since then have all said Brian Clark.
So I wonder if maybe he didn't.
Well, I think he did, but I think as a toy company that probably doesn't have a lot of money, they probably are like,
just in case.
Yeah, I mean, because they did the BCA Adam Bomb, which actually looked good too. So, and then the majors did a major bendy of them, which is fun.
Yeah,
I think it's crazy though. We've had more Adam Bomb figures this year than like the entire last 20 years combined.
He's such a character, man. He's a guy that I feel like WWE should really pick back up as far as like merchandising goes.
We're seeing more of that now, like with, you know, like Harley's got a new figure coming out finally again, which is great.
Yeah.
Everyone will actually be able to get that. And they re-signed Zeus recently. So I personally hope Mattel does that because I think there's money to getting some of these guys.
Dude, if we had an Elite Adam Bomb, like, hell yeah. I'd be 100% about that.
Right. Everyone would go after that, right? I mean, there's so much they could do.
Yeah. I want him back in the game for real.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, everyone would be all about that.
Yeah.
The Steiner brothers have a merch deal now.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
They got new figures and stuff coming out?
So, that new Nitro playset that they're doing.
Oh, duh. I saw it.
Yeah. Scott Steiner. And then they have an Elite Rick coming out when he was like the dog face gremlin with the jacket with the dogs on it.
Like during a solo run?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I personally want 90 Steiner brothers.
You know they're holding out for that.
Well, I mean, that's going to happen. Yeah. But like that to me is like, okay, we need those.
Yeah, that is awesome. I'm so happy for them, man. That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. I think I saw a Q&A at WrestleMania and they asked Bill McKenna, the lead designer, like, okay, great mood. I just went in the Hall of Fame. He's like,
if he's available to us.
No, he goes, if I find out he's under a merch deal, I will start work on him within the hour.
No shit.
That's what he said. Hell he's a big mark for Muda, though, which I
who mean, isn't?
Right. I mean, but that's the thing is like, if you want to make money, that's what you need to do is get these guys that really haven't had a lot of figures, you know?
I will say great Muda is like by far, not only is he like one of the most badass wrestlers of all time, but just his name in general, one of the coolest names I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, and then like
the great Muda. That's insane.
Like he's one of those guys too. Like when they do these multiple heads. That will come in because like you can do like
the tongue out with
the, and then like the mist coming down. Like there's so much possibilities. Yeah. I think that would be a killer one.
Dude, he's so badass.
Yeah. So I hope that happens because that would be amazing.
Yes.
I remember when they did the Rock and Roll Express in the Hall of Fame, I was like, all right. And they never got figures. That was always like, what the hell are you doing? You know? Yeah. But at the time no one else was making stuff. So now that there's all these third party companies, they have to kind of do that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think this wraps up this edition of Breaker and Bane's Power Hour. Thank you guys for checking out the show. Make sure to check out our t-shirts, pro wrestling tees, What a Maneuver, Redbubble, all those places. Check out our other podcast, No Holds Barred with Bill Benis. What is it? TV Toycast, the Saturday Morning Rumble Wheel, all the cool stuff we're doing. Thanks for checking out the show, and we will see you guys in 7 days.
He's easy.
Yeah. One more time. It ain't over till I say it's over. So lock the cage up, cause this is a takeover. The wait's over. If this the final time we meet, then you'll be on your back on my feet. Then I'll tip the cage over as a hangover. I'm super fly, so I can splash off the top, and I can shut down the shop. Like Randy Savage, I'm the cream of the crop, and I'm always gonna rise to the top. People's champ like The Rock. I do not give a fuck, so let that shit drop. Man, I'm so over.
Dope pistols.
What'd you think?
It's good. It was really good. Pretty good.
That son of a bitch, Eric Barker.
You son of a bitch.
Can't dig it. Sicko.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Perfect.
Put it on the internet.